I try to imagine sometimes as I'm sitting here, you know, and you probably do the same, what's happened with the pharmaceutical industry right now? I mean, what are they thinking to themselves? We've lost our grip. What, you know, we had control of the U.S. government. We had control of WHO and Gavi. We own the television sets. How did we fall out of power? What is going on? Why is everything now the truth is getting out there? We did such a good job of convincing everybody safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective. For decades it worked. No one questioned it. We were in charge. Now all of a sudden people are asking questions. We got no answers. And then I think, you know, what could possibly happen next? And that is exactly what happened this week. On top of all of the great work and the movies that are out there and an Inconvenience Study, a massive, massive viral sensation, a scientific study that is changing the conversation across the world right now as we speak. And of course, you've probably seen it online. Breaking: landmark report finds vaccination is the dominant risk factor for autism spectrum disorder. We have a montage talking about why this would be so important. You know, why does this study matter? Well, I don't know. Maybe because that same pharmaceutical industry has been saying this the whole time.
Vaccines don't cause autism. The science is clear.
Vaccines don't cause autism.
Vaccines do not cause autism.
I do not deny in any way that we need to do more about autism, but it has nothing to do with vaccines.
We have thoroughly debunked any association between autism and these vaccines.
Robert, it is nearly consensus in the scientific community that there's no link there.
To deny a mountain of scientific evidence, which has already taught us that the combination measles, mumps, rubella, or MMR vaccine doesn't cause autism, thimerosal, an ethylmercury-containing preservative that wasn't a number of vaccines, doesn't cause autism, and that most recently, that too many vaccines given too soon, if you will, doesn't also cause autism. So we know that the schedule is safe.
Are there peer-reviewed scientific reports that indicate a link between vaccines and autism?
No. And not only is there not peer-reviewed work, this is probably the most studied public health issue involving children.
Vaccines are really the one thing we have looked at as causing autism. Yeah,
the Institutes of Medicine, the Centers for Disease Control, have repeatedly investigated this. Vaccines do not cause autism.
We don't need more research. At some point, enough is enough. It's fine to continue to collect data, but at some point, you have to take no for an answer.
We're not sure, the scientific community, what causes autism, but we know that vaccines do not.
Well, if you've watched The High Wire, you know ICANN has sued government agencies on this. The CDC had to admit that they didn't have a single study showing that the first six vaccines in the first 6 months of life didn't cause autism. We've shown you video footage of experts on the stand, like Catherine Edwards, when actually grilled under oath, doesn't have a single study. So, you know, when you watch that montage, I mean, if you were sitting in my seat, it just is outrageous, the level and the size of this lie and this cover-up. But the only way to really refute those lies is actual science and the truth. And that is what is happening now. I am honored right now to be joined by one of the authors of an incredibly important, maybe the most important study now of our lifetime, Dr. Peter McCullough. Dr. McCullough, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You know, I want to dive into this. This is a massive, massive undertaking. This document is, I think, nearly 50 pages long. You know, how many studies? So this is a meta-analysis, correct, of studies from around the world? Just what's the breakdown of what is this? How did you come about the conclusions that we see in this study?
You know, this was a funded study. The McCullough Foundation undertook it. We set out to do a systemic review and review all the information that was out there regarding what has been studied in terms of risk factors for autism. So we considered everything, you know, from genetics to the parental history, the prenatal history, other exposures. And, you know, we did essentially what HHS and the government agencies should have done this year or should have done decades before this year.
Yeah.
And this is the type of scholarship that Americans in the world deserved. And, you know, we did it at McCullough Foundation. The rest of the world is, I guess, still you know, waiting for the government agencies. It's really incredulous. The last time the Institute of Medicine looked at this issue is strictly regarding MMR and adjuvants, you know, that was in 2004, Adele. So there's been 21 years well over 100 studies. And we'll take the 29 studies that did not find an association between vaccines and autism. And let me tell you, each one of those studies is critically flawed. Most of the time, the unvaccinated group actually had received vaccines, so it's not a true unvaccinated control. And Dell, none of those studies interviewed the parents, reviewed the vaccine records, or examined the children. Wow. So that montage you just showed, not a single one of those individuals actually read those papers or could stand behind them. The kids were never examined.
That is probably mind-blowing to nearly 7 billion people, not to me, because as you know, we've been deep in this investigation for so many years and come to the same conclusions everywhere we looked for the actual science. Where is this mountain of evidence Sanjay Gupta and the like keep pointing to when it comes to this is the one thing we have studied? We've never studied anything more. And then, you know, as you look at it, they've never even looked at the patients in the center. So how many studies in total were a part of this conclusion that you've come to, and multiple conclusions, by the way? It's not right. Just vaccines. You talk about a lot of different factors that are contributing to autism.
Right. And we anticipate government agencies will catch up to us, and they're going to find the same thing. Yeah. 136 studies, all cited in the references. We've divided them into tables and supplementary tables. Of those, Dell, 79% either mechanistically, clinically or ecologically link combination vaccination to the development of autism spectrum disorder, and in particular, profound autism. We're not talking about just a little neurodiversity here. We're talking about children who are profoundly disabled. It looks like, you know, vaccines are clearly an independent risk factor, and for some, they are really the direct trigger for the onset of this disorder.
Let me read the conclusion of this study so everyone just gets a sense of how this paper comes out. Here's the conclusion. The totality of evidence supports a multifactorial model of ASD, autism spectrum disorder, in which genetic predisposition, neuroimmune biology, environmental toxicants, perinatal stressors, and iatrogenic exposures converge to produce the phenotype of a post-encephalitic state. Combination in early-timed routine childhood vaccination constitutes the most significant modifiable risk factor for ASD, supported by convergent mechanist clinical and epidemiologic findings and characterized by intensified use, the clustering of multiple doses during critical neurodevelopmental windows, and the lack of research on the cumulative safety of the full pediatric schedule. I've been making two statements publicly to try and simplify this conversation. One, what I've said is, in my experience in my studies, autism appears to me to be children that perhaps do not detoxify as quickly as others, which may be one of the issues. But ultimately, what we're seeing is a toxic overload for many different reasons. We live in a toxic environment, and there may be, you know, when we've looked at genetics, you can't explain an epidemic and the growth of this through genetics, but you can say that there's genetic susceptibilities to toxins and things like that. And I had a mother say to me something about 2 years ago that really, I thought, you know, was clearly stated. She said to me, "Dell, vaccines did not cause my child's autism. Vaccines caused my child's encephalitis. The brain swelled in my child's head right after vaccinations. They screamed for several days, and then they never spoke to me again, and they're in diapers now as an adult. Autism is not caused. Autism is a symptom," she said, "of a brain injury." I thought that was the clearest I ever, you know, heard it stated. Is that similar to sort of what you're finding in this massive investigation?
I think that was a very good analysis, Dell. Recently, Gavin DeBecker, who you had on the show, his title of his book is actually Brain Injury. And, you know, 20 vaccines list in the package insert as a side effect encephalitis or brain inflammation. And what we see as a result, broadly, attention deficit disorder, autism spectrum disorder, tics, which are involuntary motor disorders, and epilepsy, they're characteristic of a post-encephalitic state. It's not a clean, sterile, a toxicant injury to the brain. Now, granted, toxic factors can play a role, making things worse, but this is brain inflammation. That's the reason why fever is part of the post-vaccination syndrome that leads to, unfortunately, encephalitis and then these neuropsychiatric problems.
We've all been looking at this study and saying, man, they poked the wrong bear when they messed with Dr. McCullough. I mean, here's a great heart doctor, the most published in the world on the heart and issues around that. Did you ever imagine that you would be at the center of an investigation on autism and even more specifically vaccines? I mean, do you pinch yourself and say, what has happened here? Why are what is the focus? Why has this become so important to you?
Yeah, you know, I have always had an eye towards drug safety. You know, I chaired 24 day safety monitoring reports, high level ones before the pandemic, including ones from the National Institutes of Health, Big Pharma, and you know, interfaced with the FDA frequently. So I've always taken the Hippocratic Oath seriously. Above all, do no harm. Safety is always far more important than efficacy. But my research focus wasn't vaccines. In fact, I had taken all the vaccines on the schedule myself, my children did, prior to the pandemic. But through the pandemic, when it became crystal clear that autism was a crisis, and you know, a review of the information suggested there was tremendous censorship and reprisal for anyone who made an observation or linked the two, that's what drew my attention. In fact, the person who made the seminal observation on this, published in Lancet 1998, Dr. Andrew Wakefield, he's an author on this paper. And we asked Andy to make sure we were correct in our assertions about his paper and what happened, that we told the story correctly. And in fact, he completely agreed that we were on track. He had edits. We made these edits. And, you know, all good research is a team. A team process. This has a date of issue in the European Commission server on the Zenovo preprint server. Peer review, of course, will happen, and it's fully pending. But, you know, the figures and the data won't change, Dell. And no one on social media has questioned the science in this paper. There's only been ad hominem attacks, and honestly, they've been few and far between. Most people have really welcomed the results.
What are you hoping happens now? I mean, I know, you know, a lot of times doctors and scientists that even start to venture in here and see this problem still have what I call a religious belief. I guess I can say that safely, since your book was really around, you know, the sort of the mysticism of this experience. But they tend to not go any deeper because, like, look, I don't want to be responsible for destroying the childhood vaccine program. As you've said, I'm sure, you know, you vaccinated yourself, you grew, you know, you have children, you have a family, you pursued, you know, you follow this. So to take this step, to also align yourself, to put your name on the same list of authors with Dr. Andy Wakefield, all of those things are decisions that someone like you is well aware of the consequences. What are you hoping comes from this? What do you believe should come from this?
You know, of all the authors who have opined on vaccines throughout history, you know, including Peter Hotez or Paul Offit, far and away, I'm the most accomplished out of all those individuals. I have more peer-reviewed citations than the National Library of Medicine. I've looked at more data. I've rendered more conclusions. So I am the senior most opinion on this topic right now in the nation. This report has been sent to officials at Health and Human Services in the U.S. House and Senate. We should have Senate hearings on this report. This is the government report that should have happened. Instead, we got a very disjointed press briefing on September 22nd, largely confusing the public on acetaminophen. And I think that was a tragedy. Health and Human Services should have been quietly working on a similar report. And in fact, now they simply can use this one or they can do their own and they'll come up with the same studies. I'm sure of it. We didn't miss anything. And this now needs to be a national conversation. The childhood vaccine schedule will have to undergo an overhaul now, Dell. It's clear and compelling. We can't stay on the present course.
Amen. You know, one of the things I think, as I watch this, you know, I was, Robert Kennedy Jr.'s director of communications, but I just question now a lot, health in the hands of a government bureaucracy. There's just too much horse trading and things that happen there. I think you're proving, as many of the other things we're doing, that in the private space, you're able to do things. You're able to move just on instinct, on intuition, and just really not be held back. I think you're right. Hopefully HHS just adopts this project as it is. Maybe like go ahead and test it, see where this leads. But if you were right now, if you were in a position of authority, either Surgeon General of the United States of America or let's say in Robert Kennedy's position at HHS, what do you believe should be the very next steps right now, given, you've seen the lay of the land? We have President Trump as president. Soft place, it appears, for the COVID vaccine. But what would you do right now?
I think the childhood vaccine schedule should be suspended immediately at this point, and that all school, employment, military, university requirements for vaccination, they should be banned. They should be taken out of any state or federal law. And then we should undertake a safety review. The decision of vaccination for any disease should be strictly between the patient and the doctor. Mm. That means the government getting out of the vaccine business. The government should be funding vaccine safety research and vaccines, as doctors find where they have roles for those at high risk. It's a joint patient doctor decision.
Fantastic. Well, I'm going to leave it there, Peter. You're a busy man. I want to let you go do whatever studies you have, under that thinking cap of yours. Keep up the great work. It's been brilliant to have as someone as esteemed as you with the knowledge that you have to take on an issue that I know so many parents have been gaslit for decades on it. It fuels my passion, clearly is fueling yours. I really feel like the cavalry is here. You're leading a charge that is blessed by God and all.